Hi, everybody. Welcome into episode number 222 of the We Don't Know Either podcast. I'm Lindsay.
I'm Nick.
I'm Michael.
It's another great day. We're all very excited about our facts. Should I just go first? I'm just going to go first.
Just go first, Lindsay.
So I asked before the cast if you guys wanted a fact about a lady or an animal. And Nick said, how about a lady animal? So here we are. I want to talk about my homegirl, Martha. Martha passed away in 1914. Any idea who Martha was? She's a lady animal.
Turtle.
One of the most famous animals of all time. And a tragic story.
Elephant.
Morris the cat.
No, she was a passenger pigeon. Duh.
Oh, of course.
So
why didn't I think of that?
Martha's claim to fame was that she was the last passenger pigeon in existence.
Now, what's the difference between a passenger pigeon and just a regular pigeon?
Whatever the species.
A regular pigeon is a flying rat that just eats food on the side of things. But you're talking about like a passenger pigeon and like a messenger pigeon?
I don't know what a passenger pigeon is other than a bird.
It's a specific species of pigeon.
Okay.
So it's a specific bird.
Now extinct, it sounds like.
Yeah, Martha was the last bird.
Okay. Similar to an auk.
Got it.
A great auk, specifically. Also on one of the list of extinct animals I found as I was researching this fact.
Okay.
So
hashtag bird.
I don't know how they knew that she was the last one in existence. But what I did find out that these passenger pigeons at one point used to be so big in North America that they estimated 40% of birds, period, were passenger pigeons.
Really?
So 2 out of 5 birds in North America were a passenger pigeon in mid-19th century.
In the 1850s, 2 out of 4 birds in the United States were passenger pigeons. And by 1914, they were all dead.
Yeah.
Man.
Because of massive hunting. So
human beings are an amazing extermination species.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy sometimes.
So there was I can never say this word, an ornithologist.
Ornithologist,
yes. He observed, I don't remember the exact year, sometime in the 1800s, basically in a total eclipse of the sun. Because there were so many passenger pigeons. They would fly in like these big groups and clumps. And so much so that they would block out the sun. And, you know, it made really hunting easy because you could... You know,
you can't miss.
Yeah.
Instead of fish in a barrel, were there like pigeons from the sky?
Basically. And they would, they said that their poop would be so aggressive, it'd be like snow because there'd be just so much of it. Yeah. So Martha was the last passenger pigeon.
Okay.
And so they had a reward for. If you could find her a mate, or you could find another passenger pigeon for Martha to mate with, what was the reward? What dollar amount?
So
in
1910-ish, 1912-ish, was it a monetary reward?
A monetary reward,
like a dollar amount, or was
a dollar amount? Is what I'm looking for.
$5.
Oh,
same as the fine at Top Gun,
right? I gotta say it's larger than that. If it's the last one.
Oh my god. This is a link for the link. Sorry, Lindsay, to co-opt your interesting fact here for a second.
Oh, it's cool. We've been talking about pigeons for 3 minutes, so it's cool.
Because I brought up the Top Gun thing.
Right.
Did you see in the news last week that there was an official report filed for an unprofessional like interaction between the US and the Chinese military where one of the planes flew inverted? Above the other
did it really?
Place. Yes.
Oh, I need to find this.
Yeah, I'll put it in the link dump. But that it was an amazing article. It was like, holy crap, it actually happened. It was the Chinese plane that was inverted, by the way, not the American plane. So you know, only so close you can get.
Cool. So you said
go ahead. $5.
You said $5, and Michael.
I'm gonna say like $1,000. I think if you're looking for if they think Martha really is the last passenger pigeon.
This is 1914, though. $1,000 was enough to buy like a city block.
I'm saying
okay.
So, and I'm counting in inflation and all that.
All right.
I think it's $1,000.
Michael.
Yeah.
You are very correct.
Yes.
Wow. Dead on?
Dead on.
Damn.
Yes.
All right.
$1,000 was the reward for finding Martha mate, but the story comes to a tragic end because Martha died and the passenger pigeons are extinct. And just for reference, by the way, one-trip ticket on the Titanic at the time, which was 1912, so right around that same turn of the century.
A one-way trip on the Titanic? Well, yeah. Was there any round-trip tickets sold in the Titanic?
So the highest one was up to $4,300 for two parlor suites. Second-class tickets were $60, so $700 in today's money, and third-class passengers were $15 and $40, so about $170 to $500
today.
Wait
a minute. Again, $60 for a second class ticket and $4,300 for a first class
ticket?
Well,
that's not a first class ticket. That's
like
most expensive.
The penthouse. Yeah,
yeah,
okay.
That's like the baller, yeah. First class tickets were from about $150 to about, so it'd be $1,700 today.
If I had $4,300, I'd just buy an entire floor of the Titanic and for $60 a piece.
Right,
I'd call it good.
Yeah, so $150 for first class, $1,700 today. But my last quick follow-up to wrap up the conclusion of Martha, R.I.P. Where is Martha today?
Arlington National Cemetery.
The Smithsonian, the Natural History Museum.
Correct. Yeah.
Hey. Yeah, but so, between the two of us, we're smart.
Then.
Yeah. So when she died, by the end of her little journey, she was molting a little bit. Her feathers were falling off. They had to lower her perch because she couldn't fly. And then people were throwing sand at her to make her move. So they had to like rope her off from these assholes at the Cincinnati Zoo.
Yeah, this is one of those things. It's like now, like there are those like the one Beanie Baby that's worth like $10,000. Like 20 years ago, I would have had like a million of these things flying around. Or not 20. Yeah, no, 20 years ago. Damn. Yeah, it was like the passenger pigeons. Like if you could find a mate for her, you could win $1,000. Like, 5 years ago, there was a billion of these. They were blocking out the sun.
Yeah, no, exactly. 40% of the population. But so they put her on this 300-pound block of ice, shipped her to D.C. in 3 days, came to the Smithsonian.
A 300-pound block of ice seem like a lot for a pigeon?
It was the last pigeon ever, ever. Or the not the last pigeon, the past passenger pigeon, yeah.
I was going to say 3 days from Cincinnati to D.C.?
1914.
Yeah, that's her.
Yeah, and so she arrived, and they, you know, did the skinning thing, which pigeon skin, I learned, is very thin and very difficult to taxidermy.
Oh,
I got
okay.
very into this.
Yeah, apparently.
But yeah, and so she was on display. The Smithsonian had an exhibit a few years ago in 2014, 2015 about extinction and different species. So now she lives in a back closet, like room, and Teddy Roosevelt's has a display next to her, and it's not for public, but it still exists. And her fluids, though, live in another building, just to be clear.
They kept the fluids? How much fluid do you get from a pigeon?
Well, they're talking about in the future that they could use it
to like clone passenger pigeons.
Yeah.
And then there'll be so many of them that we'll have to shoot them all and kill them all.
Yeah, well, they're talking about the ethical implications, because if you eliminate if you know that a species can't really be eliminated, you're not so worried about protecting them, right?
That's fair.
So it's like, why am I backing up my computer when I know I could get to it anytime? That kind of stuff. Anyway, I'm enough talking about pigeons.
Okay. Well, actually, my fact folds kind of into birds.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
As their natural enemy.
Oh.
My fact is about cats.
Okay.
So
I was going to guess.
I don't know about natural enemy. Cartoon enemy, definitely.
Cartoon, yeah.
Yeah.
Tom and Jerry.
Yep.
Well, I guess that was a rat.
Sylvester and Tweety.
Sylvester and Tweety. There you go. I was like, wait, Tom and Jerry was mouse.
Tom and Jerry was mouse.
Yeah, but. Anyway, so in May 1988, a gentleman by the name of Ben Ray died in the UK.
R.I.P.
Bequeathed his fortune to the last surviving of the 15 cats that he shared his mansion with.
Ah.
So the cat's name was Blackie.
Okay.
How much money did Mr. Ray leave Blackie as far as the estate?
So this is...
What year was it?
1988.
This seems...
$10 million.
I'd like to say this is according to Guinness World Records.
The largest fortune left to an animal?
Wealthiest cat.
Wealthiest cat, okay.
Of course that's a thing.
$10 million.
Okay, Lindsay?
Of course that's a thing.
Is that right?
No, but you're more right than you can think of, because think about this. This leads right into Lindsay's extinction of a species.
Yes,
sort of
it does.
The real question is, how long between the time Ben Ray's will was read and the last cat was fucking strangled? It's dark, but the last surviving member of these, I'm not waiting 12 years for these cats.
Exactly.
I mean, I think 10 million is a pretty good guess, but I have no reference as to what this guy's net worth was, mansion, etc. So I'll say, I'm going to go higher, and I'm going to say 21 million.
Okay. So he bequeathed his 7 million euro fortune, which equates to roughly $12.5 million.
Wait. In 1988,
yes.
Right. So, what is it worth now?
That
it'd
is
be even closer to $10 million, wouldn't it?
I think that Nick is still close without going over Price Right rules.
Man, so this doesn't include any famous animal performers.
What is Grumpy Cat worth? I guess it would be the owners of Grumpy Cat. It would be the owners.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Man, that guy needs to get a better agent.
Grumpy Cat. Yeah, he's getting screwed. He needs to talk to Blackie's agent.
So he was an antiques dealer. He refused to recognize his family in his will and split the majority of his wealth between three cat charities with the instruction to look after Blackie, his beloved pet.
So apparently 15 cats, of which Blackie was the last one.
Blackie was the last one that he shared the mansion with. So I think it was 14 died, then Ben, then Blackie.
Got it.
Sounds like a motive for cat murder. We got to investigate that Blackie kid.
He also bequeathed, it looks like, a small amount of cash to his gardener, his mechanic, and his plumber, and left a home to his friend.
But the kids got screwed.
His sister, who died only a few days before him, also left 2.8 million euro.
To the cat?
To animal charities.
Okay. All right, so, actually, cool. Your interesting fact now ties into mine, vaguely.
It's like we plan it. Not really. But
This is why he didn't leave any money to his kids, okay? Okay. What is the average number of questions per day asked by a four-year-old?
How old is Asher there, Nick?
Between 3 and 4.
How many questions per day?
Yes.
Well, you got to figure a four-year-old is awake for what?
10 hours? My four-year-old is awake for...
You don't have a four-year-old?
3.5-year-old is awake for about 16 hours a day.
Really? Okay. 15, 16 I thought they hours. Slept more than that. Take a lot of naps.
No, he doesn't nap anymore.
Four is about the time that they stop napping, I would think.
No
Between
reference.
2 and 3, yeah, generally.
I will say that recently hosted trivia at a elementary school.
Uh-huh.
With little boys and their moms. It was like a mommy and son challenge thing at an elementary school. It was super fun. And I will say that they were better behaved than the drunkards at the bar.
Okay.
Though a couple of them would shoot their hands up, and it's like, hey kid, you're holding the pen in the answer sheet. Like, you're physically holding the pen in the air. Write it down. It's question 6. Okay. I would say 432.
Good guess,
okay,
Michael.
Okay, so I'm thinking 16 hours of awake.
Okay.
Let's call it question every 10 minutes.
Okay.
So six. What's 6 times 16? Mr. Parsec would be sad.
6 times 16 is 96.
96. I'm going to say about 100 questions a day.
You say about 100 questions a day. The correct answer is 300 questions a day.
Wow.
On average, it is one question every minute and 56 seconds of their waking time.
Oh, cool. Okay, so I said 432, so divided by 16.
You're technically closer.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's about 27 questions an hour.
Four-year-old girls, the average is about 390. Mm. So you're super close on that front. So basically, this is an article from The Telegraph in the UK. It's a UK study. Right. And then it has, all kinds of other averages. Okay.
Go on, sir.
Yes, please.
So, a elementary school teacher is asked roughly 19 questions an hour. Doctors or nurses are asked roughly 18 questions an hour.
I thought we were going to guess. Why are you letting us guess?
Trust me, there's 300 pieces here. I'll get to the interesting stuff to guess. the average mother is asked 23 questions an hour. That's number one. Okay. So, basically, they did the study 12 and a half hours a day of questioning is what the average span is. What activity, what time of day is the most questions asked?
Morning. It's got to be 6
in the
morning.
It's got to be 6 in the morning. No, actually, if you're going to go that way, I'm going to go bedtime.
Okay. It's meal times.
Okay.
11 questions per meal.
You know what? It's about time that these young kids are getting off their smartphones and their iPads and stuff and making some conversation at dinner.
All right. Obviously, based on the crap. What's the word?
I don't know what word you're thinking.
The trope. Whatever. Mom is asked more questions than dad.
Is that coming from the idea that mom is with the kids more than dad, or is that...
So 24% said they go to their mother first to have a question because their dad will just say, ask your mother.
Is that a real thing?
Yeah, this is part of the study. What percentage of toddlers go to their mother first to ask a question?
I don't know, 68%.
82%.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, there's 9-year-old boys are the most content with their knowledge, asking 144 questions a day, or one every 5 minutes. So, yeah, it's just super interesting. It breaks down into, like, 100 different, like, types of time. So what is the hardest question asked by a child?
The hardest question?
Yeah, the hardest question to answer.
This might come from a different article that I was reading, but is it about death or anything like that?
It is not.
Okay, I just read an article about, like, the 15 saddest like scenes in television history. And one of them is where the adults had to explain that to Big Bird that Mr. Hooper wasn't coming back.
Oh, right. Yeah. Yeah. No, that was awful. Like,
so I wasn't sure if that was, I was on that kind of train.
Yeah.
I never watched Sesame Street, really.
I didn't either.
I was a Barney kid.
Same.
So I don't have any connection with Mr. Hooper.
I had to Google who Mr. Hooper was.
Oh, you are horrible people.
And I'm certain half of our listenership just went, how dare you?
Yes, including this one. I just went to Sesame Place literally last weekend.
What is Sesame Place?
It's the Sesame Street theme park.
Sesame Street theme park?
Yes. It's like half water park, half like roller coasters and rides, and all of them are designed for 3-year-olds.
Cute.
Yeah.
Super cute.
And then there's like an actual Sesame Street that you can go down. And there's Mr. Hooper's store and Big Bird's nest and Oscar's like trash pile.
Well, I mean, Mr. Hooper's not there though.
No, but Mr. Hooper's store is still
there. The store is still there.
It's run by other people now.
I saw Avenue Q on the West End.
Oh, yeah.
But I think I saw more minutes watching Avenue Q than I ever did watching Sesame Street, or at least that I can remember.
Okay, so
the internet is for porn.
Yeah, there you go.
Right.
If it's not, what is the most common question for
the most difficult question?
Oh,
difficult
I didn't get question. To answer this.
Alan runs Mr. Hooper's store now. Just FYI, but go ahead.
Sure. Is it birds and the bees related?
It is not birds and the bees related. It's meaning not sex of, or death related.
Meaning of life related?
Nope.
Are they science questions that the parents go?
Kind of, yeah.
Where's food come from?
Why is water wet?
Oh,
okay.
And then what are shadows made of?
Okay, those are really difficult questions.
I think we have minimum 3 college degrees in the room right now.
Yes. Where does the sky end?
Yeah, I guess that's funny because as you're phrasing this question, I'm thinking what is very difficult to answer, right? And you're thinking, okay, death, sex, meaning of life are 3 of the most difficult things to explain, right? Well, not
to
sex
explain,
itself, you know what I mean?
Right, but not to answer like that. Those are like awkward questions.
Right, but I'm thinking, so I have not thought about shadows in the sense of what they are, where they're made from, or like water being wet, it just is. And that frame of reference is incredible to me.
They have a list of awkward questions in here too, if you want to ask.
What's the most awkward question?
The most awkward question is, why are you so old? And also, why do we have to go to school?
I don't think that's awkward. You got to learn. Mm. I love school.
I like school.
And then some of the most interesting questions. What happens if a dog and a cat are sick on a zebra?
If they're sick? Wait, what?
What happens if a dog and a cat are sick on a zebra?
Is this the beginning of a 3-year-old joke or just...
Most sentences from 3-year-olds start like that. Yeah.
Okay.
What happens if?
Yeah. Things along those
Wait,
lines.
Wait, we don't know what happens if they get sick on a zebra?
No, I have no idea what happens if a dog and a cat are sick on a zebra.
You have to hose off the zebra, don't you?
They'll get sick, like vomit.
That's what I took
Well, I thought they meant like contracted a disease, which wouldn't...
That leads into the other.
That's more birth to me.
All right, so Lindsay should not have children, like ever. So, anyway, I thought that was a ton of interesting questions. We'll put up a link to the article and you can peruse through it at your own pace.
Very cool.
Yeah. When Asher has a question, does he go to you or does he go to your wife first?
Because
you're the trivia guy.
I think he literally goes to whoever is closest.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just wasn't sure if that was different for you because I don't know if he even understands what you do as far as trivia. But...
No, he has no idea what I do for a living. He just knows that occasionally I'm on TV.
Oh, well, that's fun. That's got to be fun for him.
Oh, yeah. No, like the nanny like turns on the TV like whenever in the middle of the day. And she's recorded a lot of me being on there. So whenever he gets whiny, she puts me on. And apparently that settles him. I don't know why. Because he's not settled at all when I'm actually around.
Okay, so secret phrase, that's what we need next. We talked about animal extinctions.
I think cat and a dog sick on a zebra.
I was going to say hose off the zebra, but yeah.
Hose off the zebra, yeah, that works too.
I'm 100% on board with
all right.
That plan.
Hose off the zebra.
Hose off the zebra.
Hose off the zebra, oh yeah. There's a lot of very cool extinct animals that I found that are like, they all look like they have these big stripes like zebras, and it makes me very sad. Like the quagga. It's Q-U-A-G-G-A, and it looks like half a zebra, but it's so cool looking.
Wait, like in a copy?
Yeah, it's a common plains zebra and a native of South Africa, and it has unique stripes on the top of its head like halfway through it. And the last known around was 1883.
Okay.
Died in the Amsterdam Zoo.
Is a giraffe zebra.
A giraffe zebra? Oh, I'm in.
Wait. No, seriously. Like, that's a thing.
I don't know.
That,
I've never
that
heard of it.
Currently exists, or is this like a once
no,
upon
it's
a time
like, no,
animal?
No, it's a thing. It's a now thing.
I need to this. I need to see one of these.
Yeah, so we're going to go look that up, and we'll bring a report next week. So this is the We Don't Know Either podcast. I'm Lindsay.
I'm Nick.
I'm Michael.
We don't know either.
Bye.